Tune in to Bible Issues with Dr. Denver Chedi and Induo Rampol Chedi every first and third Wednesday at 2:15 p.m. to 2:30 p.m.
Learn to hear God's voice through the Word of God to live a victorious and overcoming life.
Bible Issues every first and third Wednesday at 2:15 p.m. to 2:30 p.m.
Hello everyone, and welcome to Bible Issues. My name is Dr. Denver Chedi. The book of Nehemiah chapter 8 verse 10 says, "The joy of the Lord is your strength." That is a well-known portion of scripture. The question is, what does that scripture mean? What exactly is the joy of the Lord? Is that something that God gives to us that causes us to be joyful? Or is the joy of the Lord something that we give to God whenever we live right and we please Him? And whatever the joy of the Lord is, how exactly does the joy of the Lord give us strength? Or how exactly is the joy of the Lord our strength? I want to talk about that today, and I want to explain exactly what Nehemiah chapter 8 verse 10 is talking about. But to get some context, I want to read from Nehemiah chapter 8 verse 5. "And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people." This is the book of the law which they found. "So he read distinctly from the book in the law of God, and he gave the sense or the meaning and helped them to understand the reading. And Nehemiah, who was the governor, Ezra the priest and scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, 'This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn nor weep.' For the people all wept when they heard the words of the law. Then he said to them, 'Go your way. Eat the fat, drink the sweet, send portions to those for whom nothing is prepared, for this day is holy to the Lord. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength.'" These people were just coming out of captivity. Many of them who were alive on that day were actually born in captivity and never saw freedom. And now, the Jews were being restored to Jerusalem after the captivity, and these people were hearing the word of God for the first time in their life. Now, we often think that people in the Bible, they were really familiar with the Bible. I mean, they were living in it, right? You thought that they used to hear the Bible all the time. They knew the word of God inside out. The truth is, very few of them actually heard the Bible read at any point in their lives. We have to remember, they did not live in the age of the internet. There was no printing press, and as a result, the common man did not have access to scriptures. The only time they would ever hear the scriptures is when the priest was reading it aloud to the entire congregation in the temple. And because Israel went through so many different phases with wicked kings and good kings and false prophets, the reading of the book of the law became obscure. And generations would have grown up without ever hearing the scriptures read to them. They knew about Moses. They knew that there was something called the law. They knew about the scriptures, but they had no access to it. And these people were now hearing these scriptures read to them for the very first time. And as a result, the conviction of God was strong upon them. They were weeping. Because when they were hearing this law read to them, they were thinking, wait, we are guilty of everything in this book. Everything that God said, if you do not keep my covenant, I will scatter you across the face of the earth. That is exactly what happened to us. That is the situation we're living in. We're in this situation today. We're in bondage, slavery, sin, because we disobeyed God. And the people were weeping. The conviction of God was strong upon them. And Nehemiah told the people, do not weep. There is a time for weeping, but there's a time for rejoicing. And this is a time for rejoicing. The joy of the Lord is your strength. That picture I just described of the situation in Nehemiah chapter 8 is very similar to what we go through when we get saved. We were all sinners, born in sin, conceived in iniquity. Some of us were good sinners, some of us were bad sinners. Some of us grew up in church, some of us grew up knowing the scriptures, but some of us grew up in sin, rebellion, maybe even crime. But when we hear the word of the Lord for the first time, it brings about that conviction. Suddenly, the Holy Spirit shows up. He convicts the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And then we've come to realize that we have transgressed the law of God and the moral standard of God. And as a result, the judgment of God is impending on us. And it brings something called godly sorrow. In fact, the procedure when a sinner hears the gospel goes like this. They hear the gospel. The Holy Spirit then convicts them of sin, righteousness, and judgment. That conviction brings something called godly sorrow. Godly sorrow leads to repentance. Repentance leads to forgiveness, and forgiveness leads to joy. Peter calls it joy unspeakable and full of glory. That is where the joy comes from. The joy comes from being forgiven. So there is a place for godly sorrow, but there is a place for rejoicing with joy unspeakable and full of glory. And as a Christian, you will go through this cycle numerous times. Even after you're saved, you may commit sin again, or you may go back into some kind of complacency and coldness in your walk with God. But then something happens and the conviction of the Holy Spirit comes upon you again. It leads you to godly sorrow, and that leads you to repentance and confessing your sins, and that leads you to forgiveness, and then it leads to joy all over again. Just like the psalmist David said, "Restore unto me the joy of your salvation." Whenever we go through these cold periods and sinful periods, we need to have that joy restored to us. So the situation that Nehemiah 8 talks about is very similar to what we all have gone through at a certain point in our lives, and maybe many points in our lives. The joy that he's talking about is the joy that comes from knowing that you were forgiven. Yes, you have sorrow for your sins, but there comes a point when you need to move away from sorrow for your sins or godly sorrow and live in that joy unspeakable and full of glory. There's a sorrow for sin and there is the joy of forgiveness, and we need to live in that joy. So it's a very careful balance. You always want to keep in mind what you were forgiven of, but at the same time you don't want to dwell on your sins and on your past. And one of the dangers of this, and something that we're all guilty of, is something called overcompensation. We all tend to become complacent because we know that we have been forgiven, and we tend to take that forgiveness for granted. We tend to take it too lightly, and we do something called overcompensation. Imagine in the game of cricket, a bowler is running up to bowl to a batsman, and he bowls the first ball of his over down the leg side, and he gets hit for four. The second ball, he bowls it down the leg side again, and the batsman hits the same shot four runs, two fours in a row. So the captain comes over, talks to the bowler, and he tells him something like, "Keep it straight. Bowl the ball directly on the stumps." So the bowler tells himself, "I need to direct it a little more to the left." And guess what he does? He directs it a little too much to the left. So then he bowls it too far outside the offside, and he gets hit for four on the other side of the wicket. It happens all the time. It's called overcompensation. When you have a very hard time finding that balance, finding that middle ground, and you just jump from one extreme to the next. So as Christians, we often overcompensate in the sense that after having been forgiven of our sins, we tend to focus on earthly things and earthly blessings, and we lose our focus in our Christian walk, and we end up in periods of coldness and isolation and separation from God. And that joy that once characterized our Christian walk turns into frustration, depression, and alienation. When Jesus sent his disciples out to heal the sick and to cast out demons, they came back to him excited. They said, "Master, Master, even the demons are subject to us." And Jesus said, "That's great. But rejoice, not that you have power over demons, but rejoice because your names are written in the book of life. And that is such a curious statement to make. Why can't you rejoice at both? And the reason is, God never intended for us to get too caught up on earthly blessings, even though casting out demons and healing the sick was a ministry-related thing. Jesus still considered it an earthly thing, that their focus should not be on whether they were successful in healing the sick or successful in casting out a demon, but their joy should have been in the fact that they were saved, born again, and their names were written in the book of life. Very interesting statement that Jesus made. And that statement reminds us that no matter where we are in life, whether you're a secular worker, a ministry worker, whether you're active in church, you're supposed to do all of these things with an eternal perspective. And that perspective is to lay up treasure in heaven. Whenever we lose that perspective, things like joy and peace go out the window, because those things are tied to our pension plan. Let me illustrate how joy works. Suppose you're working for a company and the company offers you this very lucrative pension plan. When you retire, you're going to get double your salary for the rest of your life. And you're thinking, wow, that's a really good pension plan. I should retire right now. Right? Imagine if you have a pension plan like that. What would be your work experience? Do you think you would become frustrated if your co-worker is giving you a hard time? Or if your boss doesn't like you? You already have a retirement plan and you're guaranteed double your salary as soon as you stop working for the company. That fact characterizes your entire work experience, and that is how the Christian life is. We have a pension plan that doesn't just offer double of what we have on earth, but it offers us infinitely more. And that pension plan is what we're supposed to keep our focus on. The way a Christian is supposed to live their life, they're supposed to keep their focus on eternity, but glancing around at earth occasionally just to make sure everything is in order. And that is the key to having that joy. That is how the joy of the Lord gives you strength. When you have that focus, when your joy is anchored on that pension plan, the fact that your name is in the book of heaven and that you are laying up treasure on heaven, once your joy is anchored on that, that gives you strength to overcome any trial, any adversity. Happiness is based on our earthly circumstance. Happiness comes and goes. Happiness rises and falls, just like the stock market. Today you're happy, tomorrow you're sad. But joy is anchored on something that can never be taken away. Joy is anchored on something that cannot change. That's why the Bible talks about joy, but it never really talks about happiness. Happiness is your response to your life circumstances. Joy is about knowing that you've been forgiven of your sins, knowing that your name is written in the book of life, and knowing that you're in right standing with God. That is the source of joy, and that joy is your strength. I encourage you to consider the areas where you may have lost focus. I know with modern Christianity, it's very easy to lose focus on what the Bible says to focus on. Where have you lost focus? In what way have you rejoiced about other things other than your name being written in the book of life? If your joy and your happiness is based on anything else, your life will be like an emotional roller coaster ride. I'm not saying that to preach down to anybody. We all experience it. But once your joy is on eternal things, things that cannot be changed, things where moth and rust cannot corrupt, that joy will be rock solid, it will be anchored, and that joy will give you strength to overcome any of life's trials.
Tune in to Bible Issues with Dr. Denver Chady and Induo Rampal Chady every first and third Wednesday at 2:15 p.m. to 2:30 p.m.
Learn to hear God's voice through the Word of God to live a victorious and overcoming life.
Bible Issues every first and third Wednesday at 2:15 p.m. to 2:30 p.m.